We've been talking about why abundance doesn't happen. Why the blessing of God doesn't seem to flow in our lives. Now, the Bible says the promises of God are yes and amen. That means they are yes and yes. They are not yes on Monday and no on Tuesday. The blessing of God is yea and amen in Christ. But it doesn't happen until you add what's the rest of the verse, in Christ by us. It's unto us and it's for us to be able to appropriate what God has provided. God has promised and God has vowed. That means he swore. He's sworn by himself because there is no other higher power. And God has not only promised, God has vowed. He's sworn. And the Bible says, upon those two things, his promise and his vow, our hope is anchored. That's the anchor of our souls. And we're talking about why sometimes the blessing of God does not happen and the abundance that God provides for us does not happen. And many times we are confronted with our five husbands. Remember the woman of Samaria? Had five husbands. And when Jesus turned up, Jesus asked her, go get your husband. She said, I haven't got no husband. But Jesus said, you've had five husbands. And many times we are confronted by five husbands that we forget the glory and the power of God. Hallelujah. Are some of you confused about what I said? No, you're not. All right. Everyone is married to five husbands. Everyone walks by sight. Everyone walks by their senses. And sometimes our five husbands kill the glory of God because we are so sold to the thing that we can perceive and know in the natural that we forget the supernatural. It's super, but it's not natural. It's supernatural. And many times we are sold to a toy world that we can see and we don't value the blessing of God because sometimes the blessing of God is unseen. The Bible says God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. So that means you have to go to heaven to get it. Or you hook it down from heaven, or you put a ladder that Jacob saw from here to heaven, and you climb up and climb down and get your own blessing. Are you all right? My God is able to supply all our needs according to his riches in, where's the riches? In glory. That means you have to get to glory to get it. And you don't have to die to get it. You can hook it by faith. And many times we are sold to what we see that we neglect what God has to give. We shared about that. The God that we serve should be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. It should be. But Esau became an enemy of God. And God said, I'll fight the Amalekites until there's no more left. And yet he should have been the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau, but he sold his birthright because he did not value what he had because he wanted to live by what he saw. So he Esau his blessing. Hallelujah. Are you okay? And sometimes this is the conflict that we have. And some people backslide and just leave God. What are you going to leave God for? Yeah. Have you got something better to give God up for? No. But we are sold to what we see and what we have. Bills are real. They come in papers and they come very faithfully. And when you don't seem to make ends meet, you leave God and you try to find another methodology and marry another husband until you live with a man no longer married to him. Hallelujah. So you got five husbands and a relationship until the seventh man turns up. And until he does, and until you see what he has to provide, you'll always be defeated and you'll live below what God has called you to live. You will never know the abundance of God. Is that all right? Hallelujah. So we miss out because we don't value what God has to give. We miss out because we don't live for God regardless. When things go wrong, we give up. God is a God of the valley. God is a God of the mountain. God is a God of the day. And God is a God of the night. God is a God of the floods. And God is a God of no floods. The Bible says God lives on the flood. Many times we look at the flood and not look at above the flood. God sits on the flood. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up the standard and put it on the flood. When they came to a flood at Jordan, old guy from Wanganui East named Joshua, he said, "You take the ark and carry his presence on top of the flood." And when they carry his presence onto a flooded Jordan, the flooded Jordan parted. Are you all right? So build a life that survived floods because God is a flood dweller. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, and the Spirit of God was dwelling on the top of the flood. Are you okay? And sometimes flood turn up without warning, but don't look at the flood. Look at the one that inhabits the flood. Are you okay? So live for God regardless. When Daniel lived for God regardless. They throw him in the lion's den and the lion decided you don't eat Jewish prophets. You can only eat your own Babylonians. Why did Daniel experience it? Because he lived for God no matter what happened. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the same. They threw them in Babylonian fire. The Babylonian fire did not burn them. It just burned their bondage. When you know the goodness of God and live for God regardless, you're going to experience the exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Those are some of the things we shared. And just to bring that up for those that are here for the first time, we've been preaching this message for a little while. We better try and finish it before Christmas. Hallelujah. Are you okay? But God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And one of the reasons that does not happen is because sometimes when we experience the exceedingly abundantly above all, we experience the exceeding abundance of God and we're satisfied. And we never go to the above all. Bible says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. And sometimes we're satisfied with the exceeding abundance and never go to the above all. Hallelujah. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why did David choose 5 stones? He came to the battle, he went down to the brook, and he chose 5 stones and only used 1. Why did he choose 5 stones and only used 1? What's going to happen to the other 4? Where are they? And why did he choose an extra 4 if he's only going to use 1? Because Goliath had 4 brothers. And David could have had a victory in one day that will be super abundant above all. It will be a total victory, and it would have happened in one day. But when David slew the Goliath that was the face of the Philistine army, when Goliath fell, David was satisfied. And then spent the rest of his life trying to kill the other 4 that he could have killed in one day. In fact, one of those giants almost killed David until Abishai came along and helped him. That man that he could have killed in one day almost killed him. Now, as much as there are 5 husbands, there are 5 giants, and every one of you and I, every one of us will face your 5 giants. I don't want to scare you, but Joshua said, God has given them to us as bread. Give us this day our daily giant. God has given you giants for bread. Don't let that building be a giant. Let it be bread. Eat the thing. David killed Goliath as a young boy, about 17, 18 years old. And everyone is given the grace by God when you're young to slay your 5 giants. I'll go this side because the young people are on this side. Don't spend all your time just entertaining each other, having a fun time, and leave your giants to run around, because when you're old like David was old, they will attack you again. Slay them while you're young. God will grace your life and will give you 5 stones to kill your giants. Make sure you kill them. I'm not angry, I just preach like that. Hallelujah. He was satisfied with the exceeding abundance. He never went to the above all. He could have lived with a victorious kingdom that will never be touched. But he was satisfied. Don't ever be satisfied. Just be satisfied with a dissatisfied satisfaction. Hallelujah. This young man, after God's own heart, this ruddy red-headed that composed songs in the wilderness that only God heard, when he sang out in the middle of the night, playing his harp and singing to the trees and the sheep, and only God was awake to listen to his music. He looked up into the stars and he said, when I consider your heaven, the heaven of heavens that you have made, I consider the star and you know them all by name. What is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Hallelujah. Grace by God, but satisfied with the exceeding abundance. Never went to the above all. However great a thing God has done in your life, don't be satisfied. You may say, I can lay my weapons down. I've walked this walk for a long, long time. It's time I have a rest. Well, have a rest, but don't have a rest. All right? Wait until you get to heaven to have a holiday. Have a few million years of smoke and have lunch for another billion years. And hello? Hallelujah. Have a look at 2 Kings 13. Verse 14, Elisha had been sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen. Elisha said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, open the east window. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you must strike Syria, the Syrians at Aphek, until you have destroyed them. And he said, take the arrows, and he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck it three times and stopped, and the man of God was angry with him. And he said, you should have struck five or six times, then you would have struck Syria till you have destroyed it, but now you will strike Syria only three times. Elisha was dying. And that's one of those conundrums in the Bible, because Elijah is not dead, but Elisha is dead. What has that got to do with anything? Well, Elisha got anointed twice more than Elijah. In fact, the spirit of Elijah came upon Elisha twice. So he has a double portion of the Elijah anointing, but Elijah is still alive, but the one that had two anointings is dead. You will think that if one anointing of Elijah allows him to live, what about two of his anointings? But the guy with two anointings died. I don't care how anointed you are, you're going to die. I hate to disappoint you. I don't care if you're anointed, you raise the dead, you're going to die. If the head of the family died, then the rest of the family should die, except for those that are still alive when he returns. All right? Are you okay? But sometimes we battle to live, and the desire to live is strong in the heart of the young, strong in the heart of all of us. Why? Because we were not made for death. Death is an enemy. It's an enemy of God, an enemy of man. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death is not a friend, except when you know God. When you know God, it doesn't matter. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Have you ever considered what is precious to God? This God who has no needs. What is precious to God? Well, the death of the saints is precious to God. And then he said, the day of your death is greater than the day that you were born. Greater than the day that you graduated from the university. Greater than the day when they handed you your degree. Greater, the day of death is greater. It's a great day. And when you know him, even though you're dead, you live. Well, Victor Hugo said this. When I die, I can honestly say that my work on earth is finished. But to say that my life is finished is a lie. The grave is a thoroughfare. It's not a dead end street. Are you all right? So here is Elisha now dying, and the king came and cried over him the same words that Elisha cried when Elijah went to heaven. My father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. So the old guy is dying now, and God instructs, he said, open the east window, stretch out your bow, you're going to shoot out an arrow, I'm going to come and lay hands on you. And this is one of the most... This is a tragic thing in the church. People lay hands on other people and nothing seemed to happen. Are you all right? I think we almost have to go back and teach again what laying on of hands is. They laid hands on Barnabas and Saul in Antioch. And the power of those hands went from Antioch all the way down through history and all the way to 2015, all the way down to Wanganui, and you got saved. But they laid hands on them. It was a timeless thing, and the power of those hands sent out the missionaries, the original missionaries. When you trace your spiritual roots, you go back to Antioch. When hands were laid. The old guy, even though he was sick, got out of his bed and laid hands on the king. And then he said to the king, shoot. That's the arrow of deliverance from Syria. And then he said, take the arrows that are left and strike the ground. And he went, one, two, three. Then he got up. And the old guy was angry. I studied that scripture for a long time. And I thought, why did he get angry? Why didn't you tell him, strike the thing five or six times? He said, why didn't you do it more than three? I don't think it was necessarily the numbers. I think it was the passion. It was the heart. He could have struck the ground just once, but strike. The blinking ground. And sometimes our lack of passion stops the power of God. We stop our own miracles because we lack passion. When the woman with the issue of blood came, she would never have been healed if she didn't push through. Let the fire of God burn in your heart afresh. Are you okay? And then the man of God said something that's really, really strange. He said, had you done it five, six times, you would have annihilated Syria. Until there will be no more Syrian. If you're here this morning, you're Syrian, I'm not preaching against you. But the Bible says there would not be a country called Syria as much as there would not be a country called Amalek if that king had stood. One! Two! If he did it with passion, he said, You will not go. You'll just strike it 3 times, but Syria will still be there. We now have a Syrian refugee problem, all because of King way back there. Don't be satisfied with the exceeding abundance. Go to the above all. Now, it's hard to fathom. It's hard to fathom that there are people living today, and I love the Syrians. You have to. That should never. I didn't write the Bible, okay? Is there a country called Amalek? Why? God said, I'll fight Amalek until there's nothing left. So it's not there. There would not be a country called Syria with a genocide, with chemical warfare, with the millions and millions of people homeless, people getting beheaded, if that king had struck the ground properly. That's a sobering thought. Now let me say this. There's a lot of Syrian Christians that love Jesus. There's an Arab revival going on right now that will probably just annihilate ISIS. I met the superintendent of Jordan. His wife comes from Syria. They showed me the photos of where she used to live. There's nothing there now. Just rubble. He said, thank God for the Syrians. If it wasn't for the Syrians, I wouldn't have a wife. So we thank God for the Syrians. But the point is still, are you okay? I will never preach that part of the Bible if there were Syrians here. You don't preach that to a Syrian congregation. What if it was Maoris or Samoans? Are you all right? But many times we miss out because we are satisfied with too little. We are not supposed to be ambitious. We are not supposed to be covetous. In fact, the Bible teaches against covetousness. But when it comes to spiritual things, the Bible says, covet earnestly. Covet earnestly the spiritual things that you need to possess. Hallelujah. You come to a guy like Joshua. How much time have I got? And Joshua had fought all day. The blood of the Canaanites flowed on the land. And he looked up and he saw the sun was setting. And he cried out to God, God, stop the sun. I'm not satisfied. I mean, he had an astounding victory, but he was not satisfied. He'd fought all day. You know what God did? God himself was not satisfied with the victory. God stopped the sun for 23 hours and 40 minutes. Now I just confused you again. Joshua did not know that if you focus the sun onto one part of the planet for more than a few hours, it'll burn it up. That's why we revolve. But God stopped the sun. The Bible says there was no other day like that day when God heard the voice of a man and God obeyed. Wow. I don't like saying things like that, but I can't rewrite the Bible. God stopped the sun and the man fought on until he was satisfied. Gone from exceeding abundance to above all. The victory was astounding, but more astounding is the sun stood still. Would the sun stand still because we are dissatisfied with our victory? And many times we miss out on what God wants to do in us and through us because we are satisfied with too little. Are you okay? 5 + 2 = 12. Five loaves and two fishes equals 20,000 people fed plus 12 baskets. Exceedingly abundantly above all. What can God do with your five loaves and two fishes? It will be exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. God will feed the multitude. And God will take you home with more than what you started the miracle with. Why? Because that's the kind of God that we serve. Amen. Now, if you're here this morning, two things. If you've never made Christ the Lord of your life, you have been satisfied coming to church, you've enjoyed the presence of God, but you've never made a personal commitment to this God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. If you're here and that is you, I would love to pray for you. Hallelujah. If you're here, that's you. Can you just lift your hand? Say, God, I'm not satisfied just being in your presence. I want to give you my life so that your presence is with me all the time. Is there anybody? Hallelujah. God bless you. Number two, if you know that you need prayer because most of your Christian experience you're satisfied with too little, then I want you to stand where you're sitting because I'd love to pray for you. Don't live an ordinary life. You're not supposed to live life ordinarily. You're supposed to live lives of faith. Hallelujah. If you're close to any of those people standing, just stand with them and just lay hands on them. Hallelujah. And pray for them. Father, we stand in your presence. We pray, dear God, that your hand will minister to these dear ones, Lord God. We impart grace, Father God, to live a supernatural life. Father, open their minds open the eyes of their understanding to the possibility of the supernatural, to live a supernatural life. Hallelujah. That is far above what they're thinking. Lord, minister to them. Enlarge their capacity for more of God. Their capacity for others, Lord God. Their capacity to reach out. Their capacity to be a blessing. Father God, bless them that in turn they may bless others. Father God, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word to us. We thank you that your word is settled in heaven forever. We thank you that the entrance of your word gives light. Hallelujah. It gives understanding to the simple. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against you. Father, bless your people today. Touch their lives afresh. Refresh their minds, Lord God, I ask, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just pray in the Spirit for a few moments. Hallelujah, Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We know that your ear is open to our prayers. Your eye is over us, Lord God. And we bless you today. You're a good God to us. And everyone say, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Amen.